Unashamed and Afraid, a show unashamed about sexual addiction recovery and unafraid of coming into Christ for healing, where we share real recovery stories, learn from experts, and share resources that actually work. So join us in being unashamed and unafraid. Chris, what up, homie?
What up? We back again.
Dude, we back again. And
check it, wreck it. Let's begin. That's old school, right?
Right. So this is like, have you ever seen like an animal in the wild, Chris?
Never.
Like a lion where you're like, oh, that could be like a nice tame house cat. And then you see it get all that's on and you see it freaking chase down some gazelle at the roar. And then you're like, oh, damn, that's like a lion.
Yeah.
You're about to meet one.
Yeah, that's what we love.
Bryce, what up, homie?
What is up? What is up?
Okay, I could not describe you differently than that.
Oh, man.
How did you get here with us, Bryce? Whew. Why don't you tell us that story really quick?
Yeah. Okay. Long story. We'll shorten it just a little for the listeners. But I started, you know, my journey with recovery. Probably around 19 years old, a lot of anxiety, depression, just outside of my body. It wasn't myself anymore. And I needed help. And I sought that through some very loving people and gracious people, which led me to OnSite. And that is where we connected and met for the first time.
I cannot confirm or deny anything that Bryce is saying.
Exactly. So that led me there and just started my journey towards, you know, healing and towards the man I wanted to be and the man that God has made me to be. And so, yeah, I think all those things led to be a perfect storm and led me right here.
Sweet. So put the story together, you grew up in church, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so was church always like great? This was a great experience for me. Did it feel restrictive? Did it feel judgmental? Like how did your whole walk with, hey, I think I'm porn, right? Different. Like, I don't know that this is in alignment with what people are telling me growing up in church. So like, how did that all get blended together for you?
Definitely. So I think to go back just a little, my family, like my immediate family, mom and dad, weren't super religious, but it was more of my grandparents that I would always go to church with them on the weekends, you know, and so like my parents we didn't really talk about it. Like we prayed.
Where'd you go to church?
With my grandma in small town, Georgia. So it was a pretty conservative, very reserved. And that's where kind of my struggles first began with church, in the fact that all the issues that I was struggling with were not talked about in the church. Did not have a lot of direction and mentorship.
This is Baptist church, non-denominational
church. Yeah. So it was Methodist at first, then transitioned to non-denominational.
Okay, cool.
In the middle of high school. And so that's where because we had friends going. And so I was like, oh, like my friends are going to church, I'll go too. You know, just kind of one of those things. That's where I started. I was like, oh, like Jesus is real. Like I had a real experience with God. And so like, that's where my relationship with God started. But at that point I was 15 and already addicted to porn, right? Watched so bad. Already, you know, sexually active and all these things that no one had ever discussed with me that I knew. I had no idea they were wrong. And then one day you show up to church, like all these things are wrong and you've been doing them wrong. And I'm like, oh, how do I fix this? And then you're like, just don't do them. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like 2x4 to the face experience for you?
Yes. Very. 100%.
Okay. So you're like, oh crap, this is all wrong.
Yeah. And then, you know, you go to, and I remember having conversations with people in the church that I trusted and just like, so, you know, hey, like these things are kind of happening in my life. How do I not do them? Oh, like repent and like, don't do them. It's like, okay, sick. Like, tells 15-year-old not to do something and then you know, but no direction. So that was where I really struggled for, and that took me 3-4 years to get out of after that, you know, and it was, and still, even to this day, is a journey and a battle that, you know, I face time to time. But it's just, that's part of my process. And I see it a lot, like we talked about being in ministry. Currently, it's like there's kids going through the same exact stuff that I went through. And now with, you know, social media and things of that nature, it's just enhanced so much. And it blows my mind. But it's like, not many people talk about it. And that's why I love you guys so much. And what you guys do is like, there's a platform where people are talking about it and are open about it. And so I think that's, the world needs so much more of that.
Agreed. And that's why we're trying to do this as a movement, right? To help, hey, it's okay to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
Quit living in the shadows, because that's where shame lives.
Right. Exactly.
So, so when you get the, so tell me, because if I'm listening, I'm was like, oh, cool story, Hansel, you know, to quote Zoolander, like, oh, you know, they told me to repent. That wasn't that good of advice. And then, you know, I went on a journey and kind of figured it out. And
yeah,
now I'm here to talk about it. I'm like, nope. Nice try. So you're like, cool, I'll just repent. And so you got on your knees, you surrendered it, and that was that, or?
Oh, of course not. Of course not. So you do that on Monday, and then Tuesday rolls around, and you're back, you know, watching what you're watching, you're saying what you're saying, you're doing what you're doing. And that for me was the biggest struggle. I mean, that's where shame really, really like dug into me and my heart. Like, you sit there and you hear things on Sunday that you're not supposed to do. You do them. And then you're like, I'm a bad person. That's what I am. And you tell yourself that for 4 years in a row every day. And it's like, that's where you just get, for me, I was beaten down so much to the point I couldn't even reach for a life jacket, let alone grab one. Right. So it was just, that's when I finally had people in my life by the grace of God, you know, to lead me to, you know, wiser people and people that would just sit with me in my experience and be like, yeah, like we've been there too. And God still loves you. You're still okay. You're still a human being. You're still Bryce. And so it helps me get back to that. Oh, like, this isn't who you are as a 19-year-old. Like, this stuff happened to you when you're 10 that, you know, led you down this path. Because that's porn for me, and sexuality and sex and all that stuff for me was just a way out, an escape. And so that's where I found comfort in that normal, because, you know, home life wasn't great, you know, or friends at school weren't great, or whatever it may be. I was like, oh, well, I have this, and this is what I can control. And and that's what it was for me. And so battling
that. Were you
that,
telling anybody about it? Like, were you
not
telling anybody's about
not
it, or?
No,
nobody?
No.
So how did you find these wise people in your life? Because I feel like you're talking about, like, and I think it's truthful when you're like, no, like God in his grace led me. Cause I always say that to people. I'm like, if you ask God to put the right people, like someone will hold your story with care, like in a Christ-like way. Like they're there. Cause you know, people have church hurt. Right. And they're like, that pastor shamed me, or that bishop shamed me, or my parents shamed me. I'm like, I'm sure they did believe you, church hurt. And like, don't stop looking.
Yeah.
So as again, is like you say in passing, you're like, I just found these really wise people. I'm like, whoa, turn that around. You turn. How did you get there?
Yeah.
Because I think, like you did not have this like family structure of all this support.
Right.
So, you know, so you're not like, gosh, you know, just my family and extended family just had these deep church or, you know, group connection where I just kind of had a path in, like in some ways, dude, like you've pioneered your own path. Like you're a chain breaker. I know this about you.
Right.
And so like back that up, like how did you find these people led by God? I'm with you, but like,
yeah,
we need the roadmap, bro.
Definitely. No, I think for me, it was a rock bottom, almost, you know, jumping off a building kind of situation. And I call my mom actually, and because I was living in Nashville, my mom was living in Florida. I called my mom and I was like, hey, like,
and you're how
this
old
just
now?
Happened. I'm just turned 20. So just turned 20 years old, and called her. I'm like, hey, like stuff is not okay. Like, I know I text you and I call you, but like things are not going good. And she is a person that has always been 100% constant in my life, looking out for my best interests, as a mom should. She is 100% a great mother, and she got on the next flight to Nashville and came, stayed with me and called everybody that knew anything about mental health. Cause she was grew up in the generation where, oh, that's, you know, tough stuff, you know, eat some peanut butter and go to bed. Like you're fine. You know,
figure
that type
out.
Of deal.
Rub
exactly.
Jesus on it.
Yeah, yeah exactly. Exactly. And so she called everybody, somehow got connected with OnSite, and, you know, I met with a representative there and I was like, oh, this isn't going to work for me. Like, this isn't about me. Like, oh, I need, you know, I don't even need this help. Like, you tell yourself all those things. And then next thing I know, I'm
and
there.
And if you're just listening, the eye roll that Bryce just threw out, classic, yeah. Classic, yeah.
Right?
But yeah. It was, yeah. So I think it really, it boils down to, I initially, you know, reached out to someone for help. You know, I had hit that point where I was like, this can't keep happening. You know, I can't keep doing and thinking and saying these things. And luckily, you know, I had a mother who was willing to go to the end of the earth to get help for me. And because I tried not to go. I tried not to. I'm fine. I can do this on my own. I'm a man. I can, you know, all those things.
I think we've all done that, being like, I can totally do this on my own.
Exactly.
Now, how's that working out for you?
Right.
Not
exactly.
So well.
Exactly.
Right.
So.
Well, and so I'm going to follow this thread because this is a part in recently that some people ask questions of. Mm. So you go to OnSite, which people who don't know, so that's like trauma workshop. You know, it's like a week-long, boom, deep dive. You know, we run them at Accepted, whole thing. You know, it's a thing. It's a thing in therapy land.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people do, you know, like outpatient ILPs or, you know, where it's like, it's like, no, we're going to do a robust, like, you know, big shot in the arm type of experience.
Yeah.
And oftentimes people come off that pretty high, meaning like, I'm back. God loves me. I'm so centered in myself.
Yeah.
I'm trauma free or whatever. And sometimes the integration after that can be a bit of a bear. So I'm making up that you didn't do your program at OnSite and then you were done and everything was perfect. So breakthrough, all that. But like, how did you then land the plane on some of that stuff?
Yeah,
as you got back into your life, because people have these big experiences with God, right?
Mm-hmm.
In therapy, in church, wherever. And they're like, boom, big breakthrough. And then it's like, but it's a month later and I still looked at porn. Like, I thought it was breakthrough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So speaking to that.
Yes. No, I think definitely I had gained a lot of great connections after that and had friends who had that experience of like, oh, I'm good. Like, this is awesome. I'm reconnecting with family. I'm completely opposite for me. I was like, I went in, it was awesome. I left.
So friends that you were actually like from OnSite? Because you said
from
you were disclosing. Okay, got it.
Yes. And so
from the group. Yeah, from your
from
process.
The group.
Okay,
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so I left and I was like, wait a minute. I was good there, but the real world is scary. Like, I'm a little worse now. Like, now I know all this stuff and I have nothing to, like, you know, how to fix it, like all those things. And so, and again, going back, like, I'm still at this point 20 years old, relatively young, you know, for that experience and trying to heal stuff with family members that they're like, yeah, okay, kid, like, you know, sure. And so that process took a whole nother year just to like get people to listen to me and, you know, get people like have those tough conversations. And so, and at this point too, I was in a very difficult relationship at the time and I end up breaking that off. I move back to
meaning
Florida.
Romantic relationship.
Yes, romantic relationship. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wait, so I'm going to slow you down on a couple things.
Okay.
So some members from, you know, your group experience, they're like, I went home and my family were like kumbayaing on all the healing. And you're like, I went home and my family told me don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So 100%. How did you go on that journey with your family? Because you said like took a year. So like...
Yeah.
You just kept asking, like, we got to have some conversations. You had to put family members out, you know, boundaries more outside your life. Like what did that all look like?
I think for me, it was at that point, focusing on my immediate family, my mom and dad were the only people that knew that I was doing this and that it was actually an issue, you know? And I got back, my mom was kind of on board with the fact like, okay, yeah, we get it. Like, things have to change. Like, you know, I'm open to learning more about this whole boundaries word and whatever that means. And that was great. Like, that's all I needed. I was like, okay, cool. Like, there's promise there. My dad, those conversations were rough, you know, a little non-existent almost at times. But for me, boundaries were easier to set in my life and let other people realize them rather than having strict conversations about, hey, I need this from you now or not at all. And so
let's
for
go.
Me, but that's where it's like, they're my boundaries to make, and people that want to be in my life can be in my life. And I love that. And I embrace that. But if you do not, it's, they're still my boundaries. Right. So that's your choice. Right. So that's where it's, and for a while,
and
like
that is how boundaries work. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about getting other people to do things. Right.
Right. Exactly. And so that's,
I'm stepping forward with a healthy lifestyle. And if you don't like it, sorry, that's
exactly
me.
It took me, and it took me about 6 months to realize that, you know, I was like, wait, no, you guys have to do this stuff. And it's like, whoa, why are you forcing them to do things? Like, that doesn't, that's not how the world works. Right. And, so yeah, so then it got to the point where I was like, I wasn't texting or calling certain people, and they're like, oh wait, I have to call you to talk to you. That doesn't make sense. That's not how phones work. You call me. Right. And so it's like, just to have that relationship. And now things like both with both parties, you know, my mom and dad, they're thriving the best they've been in years, and it's awesome. And it's really been it's a tough road, but it's been such a great journey, and like to look back on, you know, where we were and where we are now. So
yeah. So bring me back to the romantic relationship. You're like,
yes,
I got to get out of this one. What was going on in that relationship?
Yeah. So I think that situation was very, very difficult for many reasons. Like it started off very rocky in the sense, like, I was promiscuous outside of a relationship, and you know, it was just not, there's never agreeance, and there's always just conflict and all those things. And we tried to make it work, didn't work. And then, you know, I was always reminded of the things I had done wrong rather than, you know, like celebrated for the things done right. And so it was a very back and forth, like, hey, you're growing and all that stuff, but like, remember, you still did this on this side. It's like, okay, yes, but I'm doing all these other things. So it was very challenging and difficult, and I didn't realize how much it was dragging me down. And also I was losing a bit of respect for myself just because I was letting stuff like that happen. Like, I'm setting boundaries in all these aspects of my life, but then the closest person to me is allowed to do all these things to me and say these things to me, and I would just sit in it and be like, okay, but I was bad at one point, you know? And so that was very difficult.
Why do you think that's different? I'm just going to pick your brain here, because that's true for, like, the closest someone gets, like, the hardest place for me to be boundary, not be codependent, not live for someone else's acceptance is for sure in my relationship with Kayla. Like, and then it gets easier the further you go out from me. According to Bryce, why was that true for you?
I think because I had, for me, it was a codependency for me was like a control thing, and like it was a power thing. And so it's, you know, you give so much away, but I also got so much. And so I was like, wait, but if I lose this power, like, I, what do I do? And so that's where codependency for me showed up, and really, and again, after Onsite, that's when I was like, oh, wow, like, this isn't just a them thing. Like, this is a lot on me. Like, this is very much my problem as well. And so that's when I started to set those boundaries in the relationship. The other party didn't agree with them, you know, just because it's not my fault. It's your fault. And so it's like, okay. So that's where I think for me, it showed up and was the most difficult, of letting go of that power that I had at one point.
So do you think it was just the awareness that helped you let go of that power? Or do you think it, like, because again, I feel like you're dropping one of those profound things that it's like, oh, so you just like quit being codependent and broke up with your girlfriend that you were hella codependent with, when Gail, I think that's her name, if I remember right. But or maybe it was Shirley. I can't remember. Patrice. No. No, I'm at least getting a smile out of Bryce. Chris is like, wait, was that really your name? I think he was trying not to say it.
I know.
Jeez, tough crowd here with these guys.
I'm with you.
Whatever, like, so she's not on this Kool-Aid with you, right? I mean, which is obviously like the breakup. And so,
yes.
Again, you just made something that I think is very hard. I'll speak for myself, for me and many of the people around me, and you're making it sound easy. So, like, what was the secret sauce that made you really be able to see that codependency, like that power? I love how you're describing that. But like, what was the secret sauce in being willing to give that up? Like, give the validation of that transaction up?
Yes, the validation. I like how you said that. I think realizing, one, obviously, you know, I was getting back in the scripture a lot more. I was going to church a lot more, and I was like, wait, like, what I'm doing is completely wrong. So yeah, awareness played a huge, like a huge part in what I was doing, but also just like the feelings, like going to sleep every night crying, like going and not wow. like feeling in control. Cause like the whole thing I said, the whole thing I wanted was power, and, you know, codependency gave me that. And like, oh, you can't have this without me. And so it's like going to sleep most nights without that. And you're like, well, heck, I don't even have the thing I want anyway. And then I'm getting shame and I'm blaming myself and all these things. It's like, what has to shift? Okay, I go down the line, like, my parents and my relationship better than they've ever been, my relationship with God better than it's ever been, my relationship with myself growing but better than it's been in a long time. And so then you get to the last straw and you're like, oh, maybe this person isn't the person for me. Maybe we had a great season together and learned a lot together, but maybe they're just not the one, right? Or the person forever. And so that for me, I was like, hey, can we explore this option? Like, can we just talk about this and discuss this? And that conversation was the best one we've had in our entire relationship, right? And that's
she'd
when
probably
I was
been
like,
feeling it for a long time too.
Yes, exactly. And so we were both, and that's exactly what came out. I was like, wait, like, you were feeling this way? I was feeling this way. You don't want this as much as you say you do? I don't either.
Wow, that's cool.
I was like, oh my gosh. And again, it was hard, not trying to, you know, say, oh yeah, we did this and piece of cake. No, not at all. But
we broke
it
up.
Was,
everything was good. We're all happy.
Yeah. It took a very hard conversation, many tears, you know, all those things, especially as, you know, a codependent relationship does. But it was, again, one of the best decisions I made. And I think that for me, I've been blessed enough to have that awareness, like, what's going right in my life? What's going wrong? How can I solve this or fix this or do something in my power to change this? And so that's really where that showed up and really worked its magic, if you will.
Yeah. All right. So let me fold a couple things together here, because I've got a running hypothesis, and I want to see how this plays. We're going to use we're going to sample it on your story, right?
Let's tell me
if this fits or not. So you just said it in the episode. You're like, I think it was a rock bottom for me. Right. Mm. So I have the running theory that rock bottom doesn't change people, that people will literally hit rock bottom after rock bottom. Like, they will drag their face against the pavement. Like, I'm definitely amazed at how long people are willing to suffer. Yeah. I think what actually changes people is hope for better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's rock bottom. I think when every person sharing their story in recovery says, rock bottom, you know, I changed because I had this rock bottom. The next words out of their mouth are, in this rock bottom moment, I then saw hope for a better life, which then I went and did. So what I'm making up about your story that I want you, since you're here, you can just tell us, is do you think that hope is what gave you the power to end that relationship and have the tough conversations? Or was it the rock bottom of how bad it was? Like, was it the crying every night, feeling the shame, watching your self-esteem go down the toilet? Or is that what gave you the movement? Or was it actually seeing the crack of light through the door?
Yeah.
Being like, wait a minute, there's better.
Yes. No, I 100%.
And how did you know it was better?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So again, I've been hitting rock bottom for the past 3 or 4 years. So like you said, like, I was dragging my face across the pavement for a while. So yeah, to say that would be
kind of... And I'm just going to name, if you're not on the video side of this, Bryce got a good looking face.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tragedy for all of us, not just his own life.
You guys are so funny. But seriously though, it was like...
So you just came on this podcast to get validation from us, right?
That's...
You're like, that's why I came on here.
That's exactly. No. But that relationship, not even just my life, was rock bottom after rock bottom after rock bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
So realizing, again, I think on-site had a huge part to do with it, and meeting people that were in my situation as well. Like, that one thing I can't say enough about, having other people at rock bottom or wherever, but just around you, like just community for me was huge. I didn't have that. I was working a 9-to-5 job with people that didn't talk to each other. I was going back to a relationship where we didn't really talk to each other. I talked to my parents, quote unquote, right? But we never talked. And so just like, I was so isolated, so beyond shaming myself, so beyond everything. And I'd been like that for years, right? So it's like you said, it couldn't be rock bottom. You're in rock bottom for how long? So it was that, you know, going to on-site, meeting people, being like, wait, like this doesn't have to be your life. Like you don't have to do this every day. Like you can do things to make your life better. And so, and then again, reading scripture and knowing like, oh, this is what God says about me. This is what the Bible says is possible. And that's the biggest hope I've ever received in my life. So seeing all that, all those things, you know, coming together, and everyone's story is different. My story is different, but all those things coming together in a perfect way helped me realize like, maybe, you know, maybe this isn't for me, and humbled myself enough to realize like, hey, like you've played a role in this, and this person doesn't deserve this. You don't deserve this. And so it's where like having love, not only for yourself, but a fellow human being that deserves better. And so that's where it finally gave me the courage, if you will, to sit down and be like, look, like this can't keep happening. We need to figure something out. And I think that's where everything changed. But 100% agree that the light at the end of the tunnel is definitely the moving and transforming part of most stories, if you really look into it.
Yeah. So to be clear about yours, what was that light?
Yeah, I think the only thing that comes to mind is life changing. So it was realizing that I didn't have to be where I was. I didn't have to accept what I was accepting in my life, that I could do anything with it. I was young. I was, you know, smart, all those things. I didn't have to just sit in this relationship or job or whatever else you want to call it for the rest of my life and feel the way I felt. And so it was very much wanting wanting more for myself, I think.
Really, so where were you, or how whole recipe, all the ingredients, able to go from dude, I suck to I think I'm worth a lot more? Like, yeah. Give me the recipe on that.
I think it initially started at on-site, meeting people and having people speak into my life those things. Like, hey, you're an awesome person. You have a beautiful heart. Like, you have all of the... And it was like, I'm like, whoa. Me? No way. And so, and then hearing that over and over and be like, okay, these people don't even know me, right? And they're saying these things off of me, just meeting me, you know, a couple of days and hours at a time, and knowing my story so well because of the like intense work that we did together. But that showed me is like, these people have a super unbiased opinion about me, and they think I'm all these things. Why can't I be, right? And so that's where the wheels started turning for me. It was like, okay, wait, you can have more. And then again, reading through scripture and what it says, and I'm like, oh, I can have more. Oh my gosh. Like, so it's like, that's where that like uplifting, you know, hope, motivation, whatever word you want to call it, really came out. It was other people speaking into my life, I think.
Community.
Yes. 100%.
Community is huge. And we talk about that all the time on here. Just the brotherhood. I mean, we did a podcast specifically about brotherhood, right?
Yeah.
And so just that community. And are you in a community now to where that still helps you in your recovery?
Yeah, 100%. And 100%, I mean, day to day wouldn't be who I am without my friends that I call my best friend 3-4 times a day, FaceTime him. You know what I mean? It's the best thing ever.
Does he have a name?
Ben.
He's Ben. The, what up? Shout out to Ben.
Best dude
the brotherhood,
ever.
Bro.
He's a great person.
He's the one you're bringing to boot camp, right?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Ben, see you at boot camp. Let's go. And so take us. So the breakup happens, and then what?
Yeah, and then
in recovery, or like, are you living in your addiction right then when you're breaking up?
No. Actually, that stopped. So my thing was, you know, porn, sex,
sure,
and that was my thing, you know, drug of choice, right, if you will. But I stopped all that before I got to on-site, and then afterwards, just never I think I had such a good, honestly, I was sitting, I'm thinking about it now that we're bringing it up, and I think I had such a good community that I was like, there's no need. Like, whenever I thought about turning to that, because you do think about it, and it comes up because it's a part of your life for 18 years or whatever, and you're like, oh, I don't need that. I have, you know, so-and-so that I can just call right now and talk, and actually talk, not just like, hey, what are you having for dinner? It was, you know, like, I'm feeling this. I don't want to feel this, you know? And so it was that community. And same thing I have now, like, and with Ben and other friends, just that vulnerability and honesty that, you know, you're able to just, hey, I'm feeling this way right now. I don't know why I'm feeling this way. And they're like, okay, let's feel that. Like, what's that feel like? You know? And so that's really what helped me not be stuck in that cycle of, you know, that I was for a long time.
But I love how you're sharing that about vulnerability, because it sounds like, so there's like an early recovery part of me that listened to what you just said, and I'm like, dude, this kid's an idiot. Like, okay, just call your friend and be real and talk about it, and then all of a sudden, I won't want to go hire a prostitute. Cool story, Bryce, thanks.
Right.
But knowing what I know now, I'm like, no, like, that's actually real. It is that simple.
That works.
But it's not simple, because actually opening your heart up to that type of connection, that's the difficult piece, right? 1,000%. But I just think, because we run into this question all the time on the podcast, and we're like, how'd you do it? And they're like, I just reached out. I just really can, you know, good friends or whatever. And the depth of that, right? The vulnerability depth of that is killer. And so so in this journey you've had, Bryce, because this is so takes back. So you're 24 now.
20, about to be 24. Yeah. 23.
About
right now.
23. Right. So you're in your Michael Jordan year. Congrats, by the way. So mine was a little bit ago. Chris's was. I mean, we're not even talking 23
years ago.
We're not even talking 98.
I'm like,
bro.
Double your rate. That's dope. So, that's 23 years ago.
And so he's killed the beard. And you, he's not double the beard, though. I got some questions. So what do you want, like, to people that are feeling the stuck, what do you want, like advice from Bryce, if they're here, you had the opportunity to kind of minister to them, like to our brothers that just feel stuck, that are doing, like, they're listening to you and they're like, cool story, bro. Eye roll.
Yeah.
Like that are feeling stuck in it. What would you say to them?
I would say the only thing that worked for me was asking for help.
Ooh.
Was being vulnerable. Mm. And because you can sit here, and I did the thing, I watched all the YouTube videos, and I saw the stuff on social media about just work out harder, and then do these things better, or stop doing this. And that lasts for a week, maybe, if you're lucky.
Yeah, the try harder gospel, as we call it.
Exactly. So,
for Jared, me, Jack, Jaren's over here, our executive, he's like, shut up, you don't know me. So, because we've all done it, right? Like,
exactly. Yep. So I think that the only thing that really helped me was reaching out to people that genuinely care about you. Let me preface that you know genuinely care about you and aren't out there for their own reasons. And finding that community, that was the only thing that got me out of my addiction and got me to a place of really loving myself, because I saw the love other people had for me and it was genuine. So I think just reaching out, and you know, it doesn't have to be a, you know, tell your whole life story to a stranger situation, but just start that process for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Find someone that you can share your story with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So tell us about, finding that community or how to do that community. Yeah. 'Cause you've done some ministry. You're doing ministry now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so tell us what you're doing now.
So currently, let me back up, so it makes sense on a place and timeline basis. But so for this past year, I was coaching baseball. I played baseball in college, all that stuff. Woohoo, yay, fun sports. But I coached baseball last year in California. Another divine story that we can talk about later, how I got there and all that stuff. But coaching through that and being involved in the church and doing youth groups and things of that nature, I realized, oh, these kids are struggling with the same stuff I did. Go figure. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. Like, you know.
No way.
Yeah, right. And so through that, I've kind of started, you know, ministering, like, online and through, you know, helping other people, helping younger men and stuff like that with their struggles. And a lot of them are, it's like so much cut and dry, so similar to exactly what I went through, mm-hmm. which is it's very comforting that, like, I'm able now to say the things that weren't said to me to other people and to help other people in that way. Totally. And so that's what I'm doing now.
And you're mentioning to them, hey, this is what I struggle with too, and this is how, yeah. this is what helped me.
Yeah. And that's where I found for me, cause I know for me that worked, like seeing other people that I, again, have my friend Ben, very successful person.
Ben?
Yeah. Very successful, you know, guy and all this stuff. And like, I'm like, you struggle with that? No way. Like, how? You don't struggle? You? Yeah. You know, and so it's like seeing that, like, really helps me. Like, oh, like, I'm not as messed up as I think I am for struggling with these things that successful and normal people are struggling with as well. So that's, and again, that's what I hear from the athletes and the students that I worked with and work with. And they're just like, you know, they at a sense, like, you always look up to a coach, and then your coach shares something with you that's happening in your life, and like, wait, your parents were divorced and you had to go to two different Christmases and you had to talk, and they're like, wow, like, and you see it, you don't, not even if they're aware about it, but you see it in their eyes, you're like, thank you, this is hopeful, like, this gets you. And so
right.
So yeah, that's really, you know, being vulnerable and sharing things really helped me.
Well, it sounds like you need to lock in adviceforbryce.com.
Let's go. Right? Let's go. Lock that up, bro. Lock that up.
I actually that so much.
Yo, for real talk, though, Chris gets a cut.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he is co-founder. So minority partner. He'll be in the background.
He's logging in right now.
I know.
Dude, totally. No, that's too bad. So Jeremy funny. Over here already just bought it on GoDaddy, so you're going to have to pay for it.
But,
so you talked a lot about this friendship, right, being important, and people pouring into you is what made the difference. So, I just wondering if we, like, are you cool if we get in touch with that experience?
Yeah.
Great. So let's call Ben up.
Call him?
Yeah.
Actually?
Yes, actually. Welcome to the Shame and Afraid, guy.
No, I'm not. He's going to freak out. This is going to be so funny. I told him specifically not to text or call me while I'm doing this.
Great, call him up. What? So he'll probably have to double call him. Okay, so call him up. Dial him up.
Let's see.
He better pick up because we're live. I ain't got time for him to voicemail and text us later.
Hello?
Ben, are you there?
Yeah.
Sweet, we did it. Okay, hold him up to the microphone.
Okay, Ben, we're on this podcast right now.
Okay.
Which I know you know about. So one of the things Bryce has said that's helped him recovery is people speaking into him who he really is. So I'm wondering if right now you could tell us who Bryce really is and speak into that.
Oh, goodness. That's hard. Well, everyone picks this up from meeting him right away, but you know, the one thing I could say about him is he makes everyone feel comfortable. I don't know what it is, but he could literally walk in any room. It doesn't matter where it is. And it kind of reminds me of my dad a little bit, but he could be best friends with like literally everyone in the room within 5 minutes. Just, that's a huge part of it, but so kind, so sweet, you know, caring. I don't know. It's not nothing but good things here. I don't know what else to say.
But tell me, what makes Bryce different than just every other good guy out there? Like, why are you best friends with him?
I think he makes people feel understood. You know, I have a lot of people that, you know, it's kind of like a surface level, like, caring, or, you know, those friends, but it's a little bit different with Bryce because he understands even some of the things that I've personally been through, and he really gets it. And I think that's huge. I mean, for anybody, you know, connecting with somebody, you know, it's just going to be much better with, you know, with somebody who has gone through what you've been through, or, you know, something similar, or can relate in some way. So I think that's a huge part of it. But yeah.
So love all of that. Thank you for sharing it with us and our audience. Before we kick you off the phone, why don't you just tell him that directly?
Oh, goodness. Well, Bryce, I really appreciate you. Honestly, I know we literally talk all the time, and I don't tell you enough, but you've done a tremendous work even in my life, just making me feel understood and cared for, and I really appreciate that. And, you know, and I know you've always been through there for me, you know, through thick and thin, and you're always somebody I can rely on, somebody that's going to answer the phone when I call, and I just appreciate that a lot.
Of course. Love you, man.
Love you too.
Okay, love you. Love you, Ben. Bye.
See you, dude. Such a great man. Love that guy.
That was beautiful, man. So, like, that totally brought tears to my eyes.
Sorry for the echoing. We'll do better next time we decide to randomly call someone on a remote recording. But that's it. I don't know that it can get said better than that. Bryce, if you want to listen to worship music with someone and drop into that experience, hang out with my guy Bryce right here. So Bryce, you know, we have people when we share their story, right? Yeah. The song that really resonates with them and their story. So Bryce, the song that's really resonating with you, your heart and your story is.
Yeah. It's not a worship song, but
no judgment.
But it's the Man I Want to Be by Chris Young. That's the one that I throw on. Get me through stuff.
I like the title already.
Me. Yeah. It's great. It's helped me tremendously.
Awesome. Bryce, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your story, brother. Love you. So good to see your face.
Love you,
Beard
guys.
Beard is looking
good.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
If you want to join us for the bonus content and help us with this movement, to help us share this message, to get it to more people, we invite you to go to unashamedunafraid.com/donate. And become one of our outsiders. Our outsiders are those who are bold, accepted, and unashamed. And so join us in being part of this movement. Help us grow the movement so that more people can have hope and have the brotherhood Bryce is experiencing, we're all experiencing together. You can follow us on social media at Unashamed Unafraid. Give us 5 stars in iTunes. That's how the whole world judges us and the algorithms work. So we can get this message of hope out there. And hope to see you as an outsider or bonus content. Until then, we invite you to continue to be unashamed.
Got them down here on my knees, 'cause it's the last place left to fall. Begging for another chance, if there's any chance at all, that you might still be listening, loving and forgiving guys like me. I've spent my whole life getting it all wrong, and I sure could use your help, 'cause from now on I wanna be a good man. I do like I should, man. I wanna be the kind of man the mirror likes to see. I wanna be a strong man, admit that I was wrong, man. God, I'm asking you to come change me into the man I want to be. If there's any way for her and me to make another start, could you see what you could do to put some love back in her heart? 'Cause it's gonna take a miracle after all I've done to really make her see that I wanna be a stay man. I wanna be a brave man. I wanna be the kind of man she sees in her. is cheap. But Lord, don't give up on me. I want to be a giving man. I want to really start living. God, I'm asking you to come change.